A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Dixon, looking to measure up across, gets one in. It's a goal there! It's Kevin Campbell! A super start for Arsenal.
Kevin Campbell unmarked, picks the only spot that would have got him a goal. The keeper's very unlucky there, Lam. A great attempt, but a magnificent cross and a great finish there.
Hello and welcome to this week's In Lockdown, brought to you by Lavazza. Today we're going back to the pre-Arsene Wenger era to catch up with striker Kevin Campbell. Kevin was a prolific goal-getter in our youth academy before bursting into the first team as a teenager. He went on to play more than 200 times, scoring 59 goals and winning the title in 1991. Kevin, let's start then. Way back when you when you joined the club as a schoolboy, how did you get scouted? How did the whole move come about? And can you remember your sort of first contact with the club?
Well, I supported the club. My first time at Highbury was 1977, so I was a fan.
Yeah.
And obviously, me and my friends at the time from South London couldn't really afford to the tickets, so we used to just go up for the atmosphere. And then when they let people out, open the gates of the North Bank, we used to quickly go in and be in awe of, obviously, the place, you know, the North Bank, and watching the players on the pitch, etc. So my oldest brother was an Arsenal fan, etc. So that's how we Arsenal connection came up, playing football for school. It was Fred Ricketts, who's passed away, bless him. He was the South London scout, and he spotted me playing for South London schools.
Right.
And he said to me, you know, he's a scout at Arsenal, and would I be interested in? And, you know, all I heard was, I'm a scout for Arsenal, would you be interested in that? And I swear to you, I didn't hear the rest because, you know, I just went, like, dreamy.
So what was it like, those first few sessions going in, wearing the shirt and stuff? It must have been a bit surreal, was it?
No, we didn't wear the shirt because you didn't get training kit. You had to... You had to bring your own kit, you know, you come in and you train. So obviously if you're going to have different teams, then you've got the bibs, you know, you'd have different sets of bibs and stuff like that. It was such a wonderful time for me because it was brilliant. You know, it was a great a mixture of cultures, but it was amazing. Pat Rice was unbelievable. Vic Akers has always been first class with all the youngsters. And,
yeah.
You know, They made it be known to us what was expected of us and what Arsenal meant. That was from day one. That whole backroom staff, you know, getting us on the right mental level. I think that's the key. I'm not sure if that happens now. The mentality of it all was anything far superior than, you know, any of us had ever been involved with. You know, they let us know what it's like to play for the Arsenal. So. And be a part of the Arsenal. So it was brilliant.
So George Graham came in 86 to manage the first team. And that's just about the time when you're starting to play with the youth team now, aren't you? So what was that like? Did you have much contact with him at that age, at the start? Or was he more just focused on the first team and left the youth team to the youth coaches?
You know, the first day when we came in and George Graham, we had any dealings with George Graham. George Graham read the riot act to everybody. He said, look, you know, there's a team, that team in Liverpool called Liverpool Merseyside. He said, that's who we're going for. And he looked at all of us sat in the front, cross legs in the front, you know, he said, oh, you guys, from you to the reserves to the first team. And when you look at the first team, you know, you had the likes of Charlie Nicholas, Tony Woodcock, Dave O'Leary, Tommy Caton, good international players there, you know. So it was, that was the hierarchy. And he spoke to us like he was speaking to the first team about everybody was together. Yeah, we're all one club. And, you know, if you guys look to us and point at us, if you guys are good enough, you will get your chance. And, you know, normally you think a manager's just saying that, you know, but we really believed it.
And I guess, well, your job was scoring goals. And I've just been looking at your stats, actually, from the youth teams. And it's pretty incredible. I mean, you're easily a goal a game at youth level. 61 goals in 87-88 from 53 games at youth and reserve level. You were doing everything you could to put yourself in the manager's thoughts.
What the manager used to do, you know about the famous back four, back five. And that back four, back five, he used to train them every day. And what he used to do, he used to get the youth team across to play against them. But what George Gale was a smart manager. What he used to do, he used to coach the defence as well as the attack. So you imagine, we're young players getting coached by the first team manager.
Yeah.
But he's also coaching the defence.
Yeah.
So that can only make me better.
I guess, yeah, if you're training against what was becoming the best defence in the country, by the time you're then playing youth football at the weekend, it's a lot easier, isn't it?
Exactly. Well, yeah. It should be a lot easier.
Yeah.
That is massive for your confidence. So not that I'm travelling or anything like that with the team at that time, but just going over and training with them, you know, was really good for me and taught me a lot. And, you know, the first team players at Arsenal, a lot of the young players were coming through. Tony Young was always first club. David O'Leary was always fantastic with me. Steve Bold, Lee Dixon, Nigel Winterburn. All of these players were absolutely first class with me, you know, giving me little tips and stuff like that. So I was a sponge back then. And having a youth team manager like Pat Rice, who'd captained the club, lifted silverware, you know, he was a fantastic coach as well. So I could only but do well.
So you made your debut, first team debut at 18, and you must have been absolutely chomping at the bit to get going, were you, by that age, scoring all those goals in the youth team? You must have just been like, let me at it, let me show you what
I
can do.
Yeah, I mean, I was, because we played Doncaster in the FA Youth Cup final, first leg away, and that was on a Friday night. I was supposed to be on the bench the next day for the first team, yeah. But the first team were playing Sheffield Wednesday. So obviously Yorkshire, the management and I think the team, the first team came over to watch the game. We blew them away. We won the game 5-0. I got hat-trick in 25 minutes. Second half, when I went through, I got taken down for a penalty, which Dave Villiers scored. But I suffered a dead leg, really bad dead leg. So they took me off for precaution. And I never forget, I was in the dressing room icing my leg and George Graham came in. And he said, well done today. He said, look, you know, you make sure you ice your leg. You know, you go back with the boys. You won't be on the bench tomorrow, blah, blah, blah. But, you know, I'll see you next week. So I was devastated, you can imagine. Then come the last game of the season, which was, funny enough, against Everton away. They said, right, you're travelling and you're definitely going to be on the bench. Well, that was it for me, wasn't it? I got 12 minutes. 12 minutes seemed like 2 minutes.
Really?
Yeah, the time went so fast when I was on the pitch. We ended up winning the game 2-1.
Can you remember, I don't know, what you did that evening? I mean, your family must have been so proud, you know, your Arsenal first team debut. Can you remember the first people you spoke to? Were there anyone there from your family to watch?
No, there was none of my family there to watch the game. And I think they were listening to it on the radio back in London. And then, obviously, we came back. And I went back to Brixton and all the boys, all my mates were there, you know, we just, because it was the last game of the season, had finished, it was like, wow, you know, it's amazing you've made your Arsenal debut. I said, nah, listen, I want more. You just won't believe the experience, what it is. I said, I want more of it. I've got to be in the first team. So, you know, everybody was buzzing. I was buzzing.
And then you really pushed on, didn't you? I mean, you had a couple of loan spells. And then came back, I suppose 1990-91 season was when you really broke through into the first team. did you feel you just felt ready? Do you felt you belonged at that point?
Yeah, the two loans were really good for me. You know, going on loan to Leyton Orient first. I remember George Graham saying, you know, look, you're not quite ready for the first team, but you're going to go on loan. And I said, yes. I just said, yes. Where am I going? Like, you know, and he said, you're going to Leyton Orient. And I said, right. I was just got my boots and I was there. You know, I love every second that Frank Clark was manager. Some really good players in that team. And I fitted in well. And we went on from there. We pushed on. Pity it was only 3 months loan back then.
Yeah.
Because if it was now, I could have played all the way through to the end of the season. But that was the first year of the playoffs. And I went back for the playoffs. And they made the playoff final and won the playoffs. And I was absolutely delighted for them. And then the next season, done well in the reserves. And I went on loan to Leicester. And I done pretty well there. Obviously, that was a couple of steps up. That was like the championship now. And I done okay, done pretty well for Leicester. When you're scoring goals and you're playing well and then you come back to Arsenal, you've played league games, you've played, you know, levels, but you haven't played, obviously, Division One, which it was at the time. But, you know, you'd held your own at Championship. So if you could hold your own at, like, League Two, which it was then, Division Two, you can play. So came back, training was different. I felt like a first-team player. And, you know, went from strength to strength after that.
Yeah, well, that season, obviously, Arsenal won the league I think it's still an underrated team. We only lost once all season. You scored, 9 goals in the league that season from 15 starts? Just tell us about that whole season for you, from your perspective. What, are you 21 years old at the time? You must have felt on top of the world.
Oh, my God. You imagine, you know, it's just getting the opportunity, I think that was really important. Being in and around it and being part of the preparation, being part of how the team did develop and the attention to detail, and then getting my opportunity, George Graham having the faith, because it's a matter of faith, having the faith in me that he's going to put me in, he's going to tweak the team a little bit and put me in, and I'm going in to do the business with Alan Smith. That's what I'm there for. So to be able to get in the team, For a title run, that's the other thing.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it's one thing a manager giving an opportunity in games that don't mean anything, but for the manager to show faith and put you in for a title run was amazing.
So come on and tell us about the celebrations, because that must be, as you say, you're living the dream. You're 21 years old. You've just won the league title. You're a striker for Arsenal. Tell us about that.
Because we were playing Manchester United, and if you remember correctly, Nottingham Forest played Liverpool at the City Ground, and that was before our game. So we're at the South Hearts Golf Club. We're having our pre-match meal. Obviously, the game's on, and we're hearing or seeing or whatever that Forest have taken the lead, and, you know, Forest are giving Liverpool problems. And I think Forest ended up winning the game 2-1, I think, or 2-0. And we're going down to Highbury Park, Finsbury Park and all that. And it's celebrations in the streets, you can imagine. You know, celebrating in the streets, it's pandemonium. So we get to the ground, park up, and we go through to the dressing room. And it's like a party atmosphere. You know, there's the directors in the dressing room, whereas that never really happened. Peter Hillwood, the late Peter Hillwood, bless the chairman, you know, he came down with some of the directors and was, you know, having a little tipple and telling us well done and stuff. And it was surreal because normally you play and then win it.
Yeah.
Whereas we've won it before we'd even. So then the party hats and the wigs and all that came out. You know, George Graham and even Alex Ferguson came into our dressing room today, you know, to wish us well and say well done.
Must be a strange game to play in. As you say, it's just a party atmosphere. All that motivation all of a sudden gone because you've achieved what you set out to. How did you get through that game? Can you remember?
Yeah, I remember it was easy. It was it. Well, you know, normally when you play Manchester United, there's a pressure. But the pressure was off because we'd won the title. So we can play a bit freer. Alan Smith scored a hat-trick that day. We ended up winning the game 3-1. My favourite assist of my career was in that game because I picked the ball up and I turned and I'm running, and there was like no way, nobody could see how I would get the ball to Alan Smith, but I passed the ball with my laces and the outside of my foot, and it went straight through to him on an angle, and he just took it and put it in. I remember the feeling, you know, it was just amazing that we're winning. We'd won the title, but we're doing the business at home. Mm-hmm. I think that was the key. And George Graham was a stickler for, you know, taking no time off. There's no easy games. There's, you know, you've got to see it out because we're the Arsenal. And that resonated throughout the squad. That resonated throughout the team. And we were well worthy of winning that title.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
If you thought the only way to get a more defined jawline with natural-looking results was through surgery, think again. Juvederm Volux XC is a non-surgical injectable gel filler that improves moderate to severe loss of jawline definition and can help you achieve natural-looking results with little downtime. Even better, this improved definition lasts up to 1 year with optimal treatment. No maintenance required. Improve jawline definition for a smooth, sculpted look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
So you must have thought everything's going right here. You mentioned your partnership with Alan Smith was really firing, and then the next season, George Graham brings in Ian Wright. So what was your immediate reaction? Did you think we don't need another striker? We're doing okay.
No. It wasn't actually. I mean, no, because every time we played Palace, we, you know, Rocky and Mickey Thomas, myself, Paul Davies, Gus Sees, we always used to wind Wrighty up and say, "Wrighty, what are you doing here? You know, you need to be at our place," because he never scored against us, and we always used to give him hell. He just used to look at us envious. You know, he was enviously looking at us because he was an Arsenal man. You know, as a kid. So, you know, when it happened that they signed Ian Wright, look, again, I want to win, and I want Arsenal to win. I'm an Arsenal fan. There was no moaning. There was no toys out of the ground. So I went back to the training ground and I said, right, well, I've got to get better. So that helped me develop. So that was the name of the game. And, you know, that's why I was able to play multiple positions for Arsenal. The team dynamic changed a little when Wrighty came, because Wrighty's such a great finisher. I think we started playing to Wrighty's strengths, which isn't a bad thing. But I think Alan Smith, because Alan Smith had won a couple of Golden Boots, etc.
Yeah.
Alan Smith's form, goal-scoring form, went a little bit.
Yeah, we spoke to Alan recently, actually, and we talked about this, and he said he found it difficult, I think, to understand why this change had been made. As he said, he'd won the Golden Boot two of the last 3 years, and then all of a sudden, his nose had been put out of joint a little bit by a new striker coming in. But it wasn't the same for you then? You wouldn't say that was the same for you?
No, I wouldn't say that. Well, I found myself out of the team. At least Alan was playing. I think the reason why Smudger would say that is because I think we were, and this is no disrespect to Wrighty, I think we were collective team in 1990-91 season. We played as a team and everything. But when Wrighty came, the team started to play to Wrighty's strengths and maybe took a little bit away from Alan Smith, because Alan Smith was a wonderful, wonderful player, top striker, but he then started to play to Wrighty's strengths. When eventually me and Wrighty got together, which was during the Sheffield Wednesday game,
where it was
1-1, I come on with 20 minutes to go and we end up with the game 7-1.
Yeah.
That's when George Graham saw the best of us, because we could both... I improved my hold-up play. I improved being a target man.
Mm.
Not as good as Alan Smith, but I had to improve that part of my game in order to function correctly, in order to help Wrighty. But my attributes were different to Alan Smith's as well. So I could hunt space. I could run in beyond. I could, you know, harass defenders. I could do so many more things probably to help Wrighty.
Was that difficult for you to take at first? As we spoke about your goal scoring record, which I guess from a very young age, you always been prolific, always scored goals. And now here you are, you've got a different main goal scorer in the team. Was that difficult to take at first?
No, not at all. For me, it's about Arsenal winning. It's always been about Arsenal winning. You know, there was times that I played wide on the right, I played wide on the left, I played wide of a left of a three, I played wide right of a three, played centre of a three. Yeah, of course, we all want to do well. But as long as Arsenal win, I'm happy. Believe you me, I'm happy. I've always been an Arsenal fan first. The fact of the matter is that I could play my part in Arsenal winning. I am more than happy about that.
And as you say, it's about winning, and the trophies kept coming in the Cups and in Europe. What would you say was your highlight from that point onwards? Because I remember some really crucial goals. You scored one against PSG in the semi-final at Highbury.
Listen, that was a seriously tense midweek game at the Old Lady under the lights, wasn't it? That was a serious game. And we knew it would be nip and tuck with them, because, you know, the quality they had, we felt we should have been ahead from the first leg. And we were ahead, but they pegged us back. So we knew if we could get ourselves ahead at Highbury, then, you know, we could defend well enough to see it out. And luckily, I wasn't even supposed to be playing. I think Merce got injured wasn't well before the game, and I ended up playing. And, you know, the football gods, that's the way they work, don't they? You know, it comes up, Lee Dixon swings across him. I get a header on target, and luckily it hits the back of the net. And we end up winning the game 1-0. But again, you know, Wrighty gets booked in that game and can't play in the final.
Yeah.
You know, he has a bit of a little meltdown at half time. He's going crazy. And we have to calm him down. George Graham's, can't calm himself, has to calm him down, etc. But we go out there and do the business. And Copenhagen, you know, was magnificent for us. You know, we had virtually half a team, didn't we? You know, going out there. No one gave us a chance against a really, really top Parma team with some world class talent, you know. But that was what we were about. We were about, you know, defeating the odds, and it was just typical Arsenal. We'd go there, and, you know, I was so pleased for Alan Smith to be able to not only play but get a goal like he did. That was a goal worthy to win any cup final, wasn't it?
I just want to go back to what you just said there about Ian Wright at halftime in the semi-final, because did you speak to him at halftime? You were close to him, weren't you? Did you?
I definitely spoke to him. Tony Adams spoke to him. George Graham spoke to him. But sometimes I think he wanted time on his own at one stage. He was in tears and he came out, and, you know, we all got around, rallied around him, put our arm around him and said, come on, Wright, you know, we got this. This ain't finished yet. You know, we're not in the final yet. Let's finish this off, and then it's a job well done. So we gathered his thoughts and we went back out there, and, you know, we worked hard and done the business and got through. So, you know, he was just that type of character. We'd see him fly off the handle. In training, we'd see him fly off the handle. And, you know, if he don't score in a five-a-side, he'd get moody, you know.
Oh, really?
Wright, he just loved to score goals. He was that type of character. Rooming with him was so funny. Like, I room with him at times, obviously, and he's just a character. He's just a happy-go-lucky character. He really was.
So what you see as a fan is basically what you got as well as a player is the same.
Yes, 100%. And you imagine as a young player myself coming through and having the likes of Wrighty around, it makes the Arsenal environment a better place. It really does. Full of energy.
So let's just move it forward just before we finish, because the next season would have been your last season at Arsenal. There's a lot of change around the club, obviously, with the manager changing, Stuart Houston taking over for a while, and new strikers coming in. Chris Kiwamu and John Hartson came in. What were your emotions at this time about? Could you see the end of your Arsenal career come in? And how did that sort of manifest itself? Was that down to you? Did you speak to the board or?
No, I didn't speak to the board. Because obviously I was what was built was George Graham built it. And obviously George Graham was sacked. Stuart Houston took over. I was injured. I had a back injury. And I wasn't sure what was happening. I had to have an operation. So it was up in the air what was going to happen. But a club like Arsenal can't wait on Kevin Campbell. A club like Arsenal have to make moves. You know, Glenn Elder came in, Chris Kiwamu and John Hartson, who, you know, Arsenal made some moves to bring players in, which is fine. My contract was up at the end of the season, but I needed to, obviously, one, was prove my fitness, and two, was to see who the new manager was, to see what he wanted to do. So, you know, it was a bit of a limbo kind of thing. But again, you know, it was just circumstances. I sat down with Bruce Rioch. We had a conversation, and it didn't quite work out what he had in his mind and what I had in my mind. It was nothing to do with money. It was just about playing. So I had to make the decision that obviously I had to leave the club to play. But obviously I'm still an Arsenal fan and I still love the club. And obviously Arsenal are my oxygen. So, but this is work. You know, this is work. This is business. So that decision had to be made.
It must have been such a tough... I mean, you'd grown up at the club, hadn't you? Man and boy, you've been there. And it must have been such an emotional day for you leaving the club.
Yeah, I mean, it was tough, but you know, it's your job at the end of the day, and when you break it down, it comes down to the brutal. It's a business. Football is a business, so that's the way I had to look at it. I couldn't look at it emotionally, or else I would have never left the club. If you understand what I mean, I would have just signed. But it is a business, and I wanted to play, so that's what I've done. I made that decision. I had to leave the club, and I left for Nottingham Forest.
I mean, your first goal for them was at Highbury, wasn't it?
It was, funny enough. And, you know, the Gooners always make me laugh, because it was, you know, they cheered my name and then booed me when I scored. So.
But you still have a great relationship with the fans, don't you, on social media?
100%. Look, I'm still a Gooner. I'm still Arsenal through and through. And... I'm still up to speed on everything Arsenal, so it is what it is. I've returned from player to fan now, and it still feels great.
And now you've got your son at Stoke, Tyrese, who's continuing the Campbell goal scoring tradition. Just quickly tell us about him. You must be so proud of the career that he's carving out for himself.
Oh, definitely very proud. I mean, he spent from 7 years old to 16 in the Manchester City Academy. As you know, that's a top academy with the likes of Phil Foden, Jadon Sancho. They were all in the same team. And he got offered a contract, but he decided that he needed to go somewhere where there was a pathway. You know, he wanted the opportunity to play first team football, and because he believed he had the talent, and he just wanted to go to a club where, you know, they could recognise his talent and give him a chance to play. Mm. And that club happened to be Stoke City. And he went to Stoke and ended up making his debut when he was 18 as well. So that was good. Been at the club now, been at Stoke. What is it? Yeah, it's his fourth, fifth year at Stoke now. So, you know, he's done good time there, and he's in and around the first team now. He's playing games, he's scoring goals. So, you know, not only me, but makes the whole family so, so proud.
And for you now, Kevin, what are you up to at the moment? Do you get to, obviously nobody's going to Emirates at the moment, but when the fans are allowed in, do you get to watch Arsenal much?
I get to watch Arsenal as much as I can, to be honest. I'm doing some bits in the media. I've been doing stuff with Facebook, La Liga, out in Spain. That was last season. And I'm due out there pretty soon again. And I do Sky. I keep in touch with all different media outlets as well. So that's what I'm doing now. I'm also in lockdown. I've taught myself how to do video editing.
Oh, right. Okay.
I do my own fan interaction videos because I think the fans sometimes are not given the voice. But they always have some great experiences, and as a player, I love to hear the experiences of the fans. So, and it's not just Arsenal fans, by the way; it's all different fans. So that's what I do. I create my own content that way.
So you've been making use of your time in lockdown, then?
Oh, without a shadow of a doubt, very busy.
And you're keeping in touch with many of your mates from the Arsenal days, and Vic and Pat, you still speak to, and obviously your old teammates as well, David Hillier.
Yeah, the old teammates. We all have a. A WhatsApp group, and we keep in touch that way. You know, it's really good to see the banter flying about on there from time to time. You know, it never changes, honestly, from the dressing room. It's always nice. It's good to see a lot of the boys doing well in the media as well. It's a privilege to have played at the Arsenal and with such great players.
Kevin, that's a great note to leave it on. I think that's fantastic going back through the years, listening to your stories. I could do it all day. So thanks a lot for your time.
No, thank you. And thank you very much for inviting me on. And I hope everybody enjoyed it.
Our thanks to Kevin for his time today. Always a pleasure to hear from a man who still clearly has so much affection for the club. And we've got some more interviews with Arsenal greats coming up in the next few weeks. So to make sure you get them automatically downloaded to your device each Tuesday, remember to click that subscribe button. While you're there, we'd love to see your feedback and reviews as well. Thanks again to our partners at Lavazza. Remember, if you're in the UK, you can purchase your favourite coffee at lavazza.co.uk. So we'll be back next Tuesday. Until then, thanks for listening.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Welcome back to Two Judgy Girls. I'm Mary from the Bay.
And I'm Courtney from LA. TJG is the podcast where we spill all the tea on your favorite reality TV shows, celebrity gossip, and everything in between. We're here to bring you our unfiltered opinions, hilarious commentary, and plenty of laughs along the way.
We're two SDSU Delta Gamma sisters with a microphone and a whole lot of opinions. Each week, we dive headfirst into the wild world of reality television, from Bravo to all the trash TV you could want. We break down the drama, dissect the latest scandals, and share our thoughts on everything from the jaw-dropping moments to the embarrassing antics.
But that's not all. We're not here to just gossip. We're here to connect with you, the jurors, and share our love of all things pop culture. Whether we're dishing on the latest celebrity breakups, discussing our favorite guilty pleasure movies, or sharing embarrassing stories from our own lives, we promise to keep it real, keep it fun, and keep you coming back for more.
Come judge with us.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.